Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates Talk Radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families grow through the adoption process is very important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw area, and our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you very much for listening in today. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. Today on Adoption Focus, we are honored to have Judge Barbara Meter with us. She is a family court judge here in Saginaw County, Michigan, and we are talking about the legal factors in adoption, a little bit of background about the process of that, perspectives of women who are choosing voluntary adoption plans. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome Judge Meter. I believe you're on the line with us.
Yes, I am. Thank you for welcoming me this morning. I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, thank you. We're happy that you've taken the time out of what I know is a busy schedule to come on Adoption Focus and share a little bit of insight with our listeners about legal perspectives and what you see in your court. So if you wouldn't mind, Judge, could you start us off today by sharing a little bit about yourself and what the role of the court is in adoption?
Yes. I would love to do that for you, Jennifer. As you've indicated earlier, I'm Judge Barbara Meter with the Probate Court Family Division, and I will tell you that I have the best job in the world. And I believe that to be true because I have an opportunity every day, Jennifer, to do my best to make the lives of children and families better. And I want to state without hesitation that I also have an excellent staff of 23 people who assist me in doing this. I can't do it alone. It's a big job. And I want to give kudos to my staff who are dedicated and just professional and extremely helpful to me in doing my job. The role of the court in adoption is to provide a legal process for individuals, for families to adopt a child. These cases for the court are high priority because the court is very concerned about providing children with permanency and stability as soon as possible. They are extremely important to the court. You know, adoption is a legal equivalent of biological parenthood, and it provides a positive, I want to say this, it provides a positive solution for a birth parent who is in a very difficult situation and feels that she can't provide for her child in the way that she would like to as a parent and as a mother. So it does provide a positive solution for a birth parent, adoption, and as you can imagine, unimaginable joy to a family who is seeking to adopt a child. And I'm very pleased to be a part of that process. The role of the court is to shepherd along the case through the legal process. So that's what we do.
It's such an important part of the adoption process as well. And individuals that are considering adoption, that are in an unplanned pregnancy, sometimes just don't understand the legal process. And same goes for prospective adoptive parents as well. So that's why this podcast is so important today. Judge, are there any specific legal factors that you would say are unique to agency adoption?
I will say this, and you've just mentioned that it's important for an individual involved in adoption to understand the legal process. It is complicated. and agencies are licensed to and trained to help people through this process. So that's extremely important to the court, the role that the agency plays from the beginning to the end, from receiving information from an individual that they would like to release their rights to their child, to helping to place a child with a family who has indicated to the agency would love to adopt a child, shepherding these parties through the legal process, monitoring the case, and then finally getting to the final adoption hearing and order of adoption. So agencies play a very special role in shepherding families through this process. They have, I'm aware, and I'm very grateful for the fact that agencies have trained social workers who can do this. They're skilled and professional. They're prepared to shepherd families through. So it's extremely important, and it's very helpful. Also, agencies are licensed to place children, and the only agency who can place are licensed agencies. So with that being said, that is what is unique to an agency adoption. The court finds it extremely helpful in that the parties involved are being helped greatly.
Mm-hmm. And what should a woman, in your opinion, who is going to court to voluntarily release her parental rights know, or what should she be prepared for when she comes into the court?
All right. Well, this is a very difficult hearing, and it is a closed hearing. And people who are listening, who are considering voluntarily releasing their parental rights, should know that it's a very private hearing. So she doesn't have to worry about having a lot of people involved. In fact, the courtroom is closed. The courtroom is locked. This type of hearing is the relinquishing of parental rights. And the person who comes in, the birth mother who comes in, must know that that means forever. You're relinquishing your rights to your child forever. And depending on the type of adoption, you could become like a stranger to your child. In other words, you have no further connection with your child. The court is concerned that a woman considering this should receive counseling, knowing that she doesn't have to do this if she doesn't want to. And in fact, the court will tell her that in the hearing. You can walk out at any time. But before she comes in to conduct this type of hearing, she should be very clear and sure about why she is doing what she is doing, and that is voluntarily releasing her parental rights forever. The court will be asking her, has anybody threatened or pressured you in any way? Has anybody offered you any money or any special accommodations, such as a visitation with the child? And if that is in fact the case, the court cannot enforce that. So you need to come into this without pressure, without any expectations other than knowing that you are relinquishing your rights to your child. Again, it is a very difficult hearing. It is, can be, and usually is emotional. I always caution a birth mother before we get started that it may be very difficult. And the questions that I'll ask you aren't meant to upset you in any way, but the court must be clear that you are doing this freely and voluntarily of your own will.
Absolutely.
At the end, if in fact we get through the entire process of voluntarily releasing parental rights, I commend the birth parent for the courage that she has shown in relinquishing her parental rights. And during that hearing, I always ask, do you believe this is in the best interest of your child? And the parent will outline why she believes it's in the child's best interest. And so that is what we cover in a voluntary, excuse me, release of parental rights in the courtroom. Again, it's a very difficult emotional hearing, and a mother should be prepared to answer these questions so the court is very clear she is doing this voluntarily and knowingly.
Mm-hmm. And Judge, one thing that you touched upon as well was this concept of openness agreements, and I do think it's important, and we want women to understand that the court does not have a role regarding ongoing contact or supervising that or ensuring that it occurs, whether it be in the form of pictures and letters or whether it be in the form of personal face-to-face contact and get-togethers. And that is sometimes an area that women get a little nervous about or confused about as they go to court, because it is not uncommon for a private adoption agency such as Adoption Associates to institute some sort of arrangement between the birth mother and the family long term. But I think your point is clear here that that is not a function of the court, correct?
That is true. That is not a function of the court. And then we'll go back to the last question. What are the specific factors unique to agency adoptions? The agency is very skilled and professional and thorough in shepherding a birth parent through the process. And whether this is an open adoption with those options that you have outlined is something that the agency is going to make very clear to a birth mother.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. The next question is a bit more complicated, I would say, and we haven't talked about the role of the birth father as of yet in this discussion. But one thing that we do see a lot in adoption is surprise from people when they learn that a father is not necessarily a father. And I want to, you know, kind of talk about what we mean by that. Could you explain that a little bit? We're talking about here some distinction in a biological father as compared to a legal father. And these may be terms that are unfamiliar to many of our listeners. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, Judge?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to, Jennifer. A legal father is a man who is married to the mother. And he is the legal father by presumption in the law. If a man is married to a woman and that woman gives birth during the course of the marriage, it is presumed in the law that this father is the father of the child. That is a legal father. A putative father is a biological father. And that is someone who claims to be the father of the child, or the mother identifies as being the father of the child. This person may not be a legal father. This person may not be married to the mother and is therefore putative. His legality in the law has to be established. And that's the difference between a legal father who is married to a mother or a putative father who is not married to the mother.
Mm-hmm. It can get a little complicated for those outside of the court or the field of adoption to really kind of wrap their mind around some of those issues. What do you see in terms of the needs or perspectives of women who are choosing to voluntarily release their parental rights to their child?
Well, adoption is a positive solution to a very difficult situation, and voluntarily relinquishing your parental rights requires, in the best circumstance, a great deal of support to the individual who is considering releasing her rights. She deserves not only support, but respect for her decision. I want to make this point very strongly, is that it is not a sign of weakness in a birth mother who wishes to release her parental rights, but I consider it is truly an example of strength and love and compassion. This is the greatest, most selfless act that a mother can extend by putting her child's interest before her own. And she needs to understand the process, and agencies do a great job of helping her through this, but she needs support for this very difficult situation that she is in. And I mean love and support and kindness.
I think that's so important, and I'm glad that you said that. I couldn't agree more, and it really does kind of lead us into the next question that I had for you, Judge, which was what message you have for women, and I hear your message loud and clear, or maybe even to the people that are in the life of this woman. So we have a woman experiencing an unplanned pregnancy who has some difficult circumstances in her life right now, and she's considering an adoption for her child because she believes it may be what's best for her child. But beyond her own thoughts and feelings and opinions, she then is also carrying the weight of the thoughts, opinions, values and beliefs of her circle of family or her friends or her support system, some of who maybe don't know much about private agency adoption. So how do we support that group of people to thereby support the birth mother? What does that look like in your view?
How do we support her circle? Her
yes,
family?
Or what message? Yes, or what message do we have for those people
well? Be kind, be supportive, and be kind. This is a mother who wants to have a good life and opportunity for her child, or she wouldn't be considering this. She may not be ready for the responsibilities of parenthood. She may not want to be a mother at that time. Perhaps she can't afford to be a mother at that time. Maybe she isn't stable enough in her own life to provide a proper home for her child. Maybe she's too young, or perhaps she doesn't have a strong support system or none at all. So let's think about those as some of the reasons why a birth mother would consider adopting her child, and let's be supportive. Mm-hmm. Community around her. Let's be kind. And a message to the woman who's considering this is get counseling. And an agency, again, is very adept at providing that to her, to providing her with the emotional support and sorting out whether or not this is something that really is a good option for her. So see a trained professional. Listen to the trained professional and the resources that they provide to you and the counseling that they give to you, and make sure that you're comfortable with the reasons why you are considering this.
Absolutely. And I feel like what I'm hearing from you, Judge, is rather than those surrounding the woman viewing this choice as a weakness upon her part to place her child for adoption and to choose an adoptive parent, rather than viewing that as a weakness, we're viewing it as a strength, that she is
Absolutely.
In her mind choosing what she believes to be best for her baby. And maybe that doesn't feel in that given moment like what's best for her personally.
Absolutely. Again, I want to state this is a great and selfless act on a mother extending her love for her child, placing her child's interests before her own. And when we look at it this way, and we all should, we should be approaching this as a support system, providing not only support, but being very kind and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So shifting gears a little bit here, beyond the termination of parental rights when it comes to birth parents, what are you looking for, Judge, when you're approving a prospective adoptive family's petition to adopt?
I'm concerned about whether or not this family is going to treat this child as if this child is their own, as if they gave birth to this child. And again, I'll go back to the statement that adoption is the legal equivalent to biological parenthood. So what I want, are you going to treat this child as if this child was born to you? Because that's the process. that you are engaging in, and that is the legal outcome that you will be expected to accept. So I'm looking mm-hmm. for that, the capacity to love and give affection and guidance to a child, to provide, of course, for the basic necessities, to provide stability, moral fitness. I'm looking to see whether or not the couple is in good physical and mental health. And if there are siblings that would come along, would you be willing to adopt siblings? Would be something else that I would like to see if that is, in fact, a possibility down the road. That's a situation that may not come up every time, but that is something that I would look at. Do you have family support? Do you have extended family who will help you in loving this child and providing that family element that's so important to children, not only the immediate family, but extended family? And are you, again, willing to provide that forever home to that child? The adoption doesn't end when the child is 18, but this is your child forever. So these are things that I'm concerned about in families who are seeking to adopt a child.
Very good. And I know that after the court approves the family's petition to adopt, and we then move forward into the supervision period, and for the agency that means that the social workers on staff are continuing to visit the child and the family and provide support in the home. And part of that includes preparing and submitting to the court post-placement reports that the judge then reviews. And so I'd like to, if you could, hear from you about what you view as the purpose of those reports that the caseworkers are preparing and submitting, just to kind of help maybe the adoptive parents understand that process, and then the birth mother as well, knowing that her child is placed in this home and the agency is still involved and the court is reviewing these reports. Give us a little insight, if you could, about that topic.
Absolutely. And this is, again, where agencies do an excellent job in outlining the family and how things are going. These reports provided by the agencies thoroughly advise the court about who this adopting family is and why this home is an excellent placement for this child. That's what it provides to the court. It allows the court to kind of step into the lives and the home of the adoptive family. And I see in the reports that I receive, is it a great placement? Is it an excellent fit? And why is it a great fit? So I love reading the reports. I get everything in the reports about how things are going, how the parents are interacting, if there are siblings in the home, how they're doing, if there's a dog. I mean, I get so much information, and it's wonderful because it's like stepping into the home. I really get a sense of the home and who these people are and who this family is and how this child is interacting in the home. They're very helpful and they're very encouraging.
And that provides you what you need to then feel certain about moving forward with the finalization of the adoption, which is then the next step in the process, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. It like I said, it helps the court step inside the home of the family and really see what's going on in that home and how the placement is for this child and for the family, whether or not it's a good fit.
Fantastic. So, today we've talked about women facing unplanned pregnancies who are considering adoption as a means of an option. We've talked about prospective adoptive families. We've talked about children. We've talked about the process. And I want to give you a moment here because I know that as we talk about serving families and children, there is something that you personally feel very passionately about. And I did, Judge, want to give you the opportunity to touch on that a minute.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate that. I would like to just briefly talk about what I consider to be a foster home crisis in Saginaw County. We do not have enough good, loving foster homes to open their hearts and their doors to their home to children who need a place to stay when their parents have been brought to court because of abuse and or neglect of the children. Unfortunately, sometimes the Department of Health and Human Services has to remove children from their home while the parents receive services in order to address those issues that raise concern with regard to the children. So sometimes the children have to be removed. We need homes to place those children while their parents are receiving services. We don't have enough homes in Saginaw County. Historically, we have had up to 150 homes in our county that were foster homes to place children under these circumstances. We are down to a mere 37 homes right now, and that is critical. Therein lies our crisis. There are 11 additional licensed foster homes, but they will only take relative children, children who are somehow related to them. So if we don't have a relative placement for the child has to go into a non-relative foster home, and that's where the crisis is. We desperately need foster homes. And I will tell you that when children are removed, DHHS, through Child Protective Services, then scrambles to find a home, and it's very difficult for them. These workers have these children sometimes in a hotel room until they can find placement. And that's concerning. And that's sad. That's not best for our kids. We need homes desperately. So if you are listening to me and if you have a place in your heart to open your home to a child who needs a place to put their head at night and meals to be fed to them, and a place to call their temporary home, I would really appreciate your consideration. So with that, Jennifer, thank you so much for letting me speak to something that is significant to the court and to the Department of Health and Human Services, and that is close to my heart at this time, and those are children that need foster homes.
Absolutely. Thank you. And as I listen to you, Judge, what I'm struck by is some of the commonality. Although what you speak about with the Department of Health and Human Services and a shortage in foster homes and places for these children, in private agency adoption, we're always looking for loving homes as well. In different circumstances, obviously different background with private infant adoption versus the Department of Health and Human Services with foster care. But nonetheless, the message that I get from this is that children are in need of loving families, and children are in need of stability and good homes and parents who love them. So we share that in common. And I appreciate you coming today on our podcast and talking about the legal factors and the perspectives that you have in your work in adoption as well. So thank you very, very much for today, Judge Meter.
I am so pleased to be able to be with you and speak with you, Jennifer. And I would like to end with a quote from an adoption that I did here. And it was from a mother, a mother who adopted actually several children. And she said, "Adopting a child does not change the world, but for that child, the world changes." So I would like to thank you for your efforts, Jennifer, for your agency efforts. I would like to thank everybody who is listening to this podcast for your attention. And I hope that you learned something today. And I hope that you realize that adopting a child is a wonderful, wonderful part of the court's process. It is the most joyous event that the court has experience, and I can say that for myself and my staff, the whole court, the adoption process and getting to that final hearing is one of the most joyous events in a court setting. There's joy. There are tears of joy. There is abounding love in the courtroom, and it really is a beautiful hearing. So with that, again, thank you so much for allowing me to speak with you today.
And thank you so much, and excellent job helping recap there, Judge Meter. I appreciate it. For those of you that are listening and looking to connect with Adoption Associates, we would love to hear from you at 800-677-2367. You can also connect with Adoption Associates through the website, adoptionassociates.net. Do continue to stay in touch with Blog Talk Radio to follow Adoption Focus podcasts. We have shows every Tuesday at 11 a.m., and we do hope that you will continue to listen, learn, and grow in adoption with Adoption Focus. For now, this is Jennifer with Adoption Focus and Adoption Associates. I hope that you all have a great day. Bye-bye for now.